You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Big Brother Canada 9 Roundtable Podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and this is the podcast where we talk about everything from the feeds. With me this week is Melissa. How you doing, Melissa?
I'm doing pretty well. This whole invisible HOH thing is kind of wild, although I was expecting it to be a little bit of a wilder week. But I'll take what I can get.
We'll take what we can get. Also with us tonight is Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing well, Taryn. The last time I was able to come through at the round table, I represented the audience. Tonight, I get to represent myself. And I'm very excited. It's Invisible Week, Invisible HOH. All your portfolio is about to be looking invisible after tonight. I look forward to being a part of it.
Oh, God.
So. Yes. Yes. The ratings will be low. I promise this. You guys flourished under Amon's reign, but he was far too kind. You will all suffer this week. All right.
It's very different this week. We have Pooya here. Abdul.
Yeah, it could be anyone. It could be anyone with more realistic ratings, not giving me massive bumps in the Stockwatch by giving Brayden eights. I think would be the thing that's gonna happen this week.
No, I have to say it from the top. Amon blessed my portfolio last week, and I do appreciate him. And I will also preface: if you are not a fan of my portfolio, Amon did my ratings today. So you go at Amon Adwin, you don't at me. He's responsible for my evaluations.
There you go.
It's all Amon's fault.
Yes. Well, this has been a bit of a slow week here. I honestly don't even know if it's really been a slow week or if it's just felt like one because the feeds haven't been on. But while the feeds have been up, it definitely has been a bit slow. Which is unfortunate because I think a lot of people were looking forward to this anonymous HOH twist, but it really didn't pan. You'd think you take this kind of twist, you give it, you put it in the hands of Victoria, Feeds Gold, that the combination will be amazing, but it's actually kind of, they've like neutralized each other. And the end result has kind of been a bit tame here, Pooya.
Yeah, because I mean, here's the thing. When we come into a Friday morning update and we have nothing to report on, you're hoping for the house to at least be caught on fire off camera so that you can at least see something. But it has been very mellow, which is ridiculous considering the fact that this is the second Victoria HOH reign we're getting. The first one was messy, but they still, you know, gave us that quick too soon veto ceremony to like quiet everything down for an extra day. And now we have this week, which I feel like has kind of been foregone from the jump. And I do think a combination of lack of feeds and then also just lack of really any shifting that's going on. I feel like there's stuff to talk about. There are definitely people that are doing better and worse, but not like monumentally that it's like really made the week big and worthwhile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I also think that because it was she had to keep it a secret. It kind of like, I guess, neutered her ability to kind of, you know, call people out or like put people against each other or create any sort of like drama or any sort of controversy, because it was like, she was trying to blend back into the background and kind of not appear to have any power or be the HOH or anything like that. And so it kind of just ruined any chance we had of, I mean, like the reason why the Victoria HOH week was so fun, or like the last one, was that she was able to kind of create these scenarios where we're like, oh my God, what the heck is going on right now? Like, why are these people turning against these people? What's going on? And I just feel like she kind of had to lose that for this week. And that's kind of, you know, not so fun.
Could you imagine what kinds of explanations she would have been cooking up for Austin as to why she was going home this week and why she was the target? First of all, she probably wouldn't have told Austin she was the target. She probably wouldn't have been like, no, but seriously, Brayden's my target. He lied or he lied about what he ate, I think. And then also, he once complimented me on my hair, and I just felt like, why are you trying to put a target on my hair? It's kind of annoying. So he's definitely my target. And Austin, don't worry about it. You are completely safe. Best player ever. Yes.
Yes. I feel like that is the one thing I don't love about Victoria is, well, yeah, that's like the main thing I don't love about Victoria is like the I'm the best player ever. Like, I get that it's like, I don't know. Like, I just feel like it's like I'm loving when she's like turning to the camera and like giving like reaction shots and things like that. But then the second the person leaves and she's like, I'm the best player ever, I'm a legend, it's like, oh, I don't love that. And I don't love that like she's buying into like what Kiefer is selling her when he keeps telling her, you know, like, oh man, like you're great, you're amazing. And it's like, don't feed into that, because the second you feed into that, it's over for you.
Like, for me, it's funny because there's something so fun in watching mediocre players gas each other up like they're the next Dan Kiesling. Like, it's just too fun. Like, you are a legend for doing this. You're killing this invisible rain. Literally, you have one mission. Don't tip anyone off on what you're doing. Most people know what you're doing already. Most people know it's you. You're doing this. And you made yourself have not for no reason. Okay, so you did all that as well. And like, you still think you're rocking it. I love that for the entertainment factor. It really, really is great popcorn entertainment as far as a player goes. Now, personally, if it's someone I was rooting for or someone I know, oh yeah, I would be roasting them till the cows come home. No, don't do this. Don't be like this. But it is great when people don't recognize where they are in the game and really play up that they're killing the game.
Yeah. And it's spreading because just today, Kiefer had a whole soliloquy on the feeds about how amazing he is. He was studying, and it went from studying to like he became his own hype man, where like, and then I was HOH and I fooled the entire house and took out the biggest target. Little did Kyle know that the person who would go up next to him was his closest or maybe second closest person to him in the house. And once that happened, he realized that Kiefer, the grim Kiefer, took him out of the game, and it was too late. There was nothing he could do. Head into this week, and Vic, Spicy V, wins the competition, the first invisible HOH of the season. And of course, I'm in her head. I'm in her ear. I'm convincing the entire house. None of them know that it's her. They think that they know, but they don't actually know for sure. And I'm helping her do it. And I'm pushing her to take out Austin, who is the next biggest target. And I've convinced the entire house that I'm with them. And what an amazing player I am. The best to ever play this game. Truly a legend. Kiefer wins the jury 7-0. Winner of Big Brother Canada 9. Best to ever play the game. Let's go.
I think Victoria and him are made for each other then for the alliance. I mean, honestly, like I was thinking this earlier that like that is an alliance I can actually get behind. I would be excited to see what they do just because like I really would have no idea what they would do. And I don't know. I feel like I like the two of them together. And also I think it makes sense to have them work together. I think this is the
best duo in Big Brother history.
Well, obviously, I mean, duh. Yeah. But, you know, they're just in these these places where they're like kind of on the outskirts of everything. And it just makes sense for them to work together. And also, you know, that's the kind of thing I really like to see anyway, is like two people who were originally with other people recognizing that, you know, maybe those other people that they were currently with isn't, you know, it's not suiting them anymore. It's not benefiting them anymore. So like, they need to maybe find something else. Oh, wait, how about each other? Let's join together and figure this out. And, you know, you don't get to see that very much, like to the point where it works. I mean, you see it where people like say, hey, maybe we should work together. Not. And then they go back to their original sides. So like, it is nice to see. It would be nice to see those two like actually go far together and make it like, you know, make it as a duo, because first of all, they're fun to watch, for my opinion. And second of all, I like to see that sort of storyline. And especially because they put each other on the, like she put him on the block and it was like a whole thing. And it's like, he wins HOH, she wins HOH. Now we just have to have him win HOH again. And then, you know, keep the pattern going.
Yeah. Kiefer did mention that he, and this is what I tweeted out, that he doesn't actually think he should win the HOH because it would break people's hearts if he were to put them up. He's doing so well in this game that it would really, their heart would break if he found out that Kiefer was not really with them. He's convinced them all so well. He couldn't do that to their hearts, their poor hearts.
Right. You don't want your hero to let you down. You don't want your hero to be the one to put you up. And I think that's Kiefer's narrative. Now he is literally, everyone falls to his feet and he just doesn't want to, you know, be in that position where he becomes the villain to any of them, let alone like the kid could literally win 8 competitions and he has no respect. So it's wild to me that he feels this way, but at least I'm glad. Listen, we talk about these fans of the show coming in and like not having things go their way. I'm not saying he's controlling his own destiny. Things are going his way right now. I'm like, good for you gassing yourself up. Good. But at some point, you're going to feel silly. And I'm here for that moment, personally. I'm here for that with popcorn. So,
yeah. And here's the thing, though. So a lot of the time when you get the people turning to the camera and saying like, I'm a genius, and we're all like, oh, brother, they're not a genius. They're terrible. It's because like they don't understand the structure of the house, because there's some like large power or like one person or group of people that are like really controlling everything, and that they're the ones in power. And that's why we think like, oh God, why are they saying this? It makes them look bad because they're in the minority. They have no idea what's going on, what's actually going on in the house. In this situation, like, we don't really have that. So, I mean, maybe they are really great. Like me. I mean, at this point, is it really that impossible to say that Victoria is the best player in the house? I don't know. I mean, I don't really see anyone like really stepping up and making me think like, no, they're the best player in the house. So, you know, but maybe it is Victoria and Kiefer.
I don't think they're saying they're the best player in the house, though.
Well,
I think they're saying they're the best players of all time.
Well, yeah. You know, they may be saying that, but I have no way to defend it.
The B-Poat, they're both candidates for the B-Poat now. Yeah, literally. 1 and 2.
Yep. Oh, for sure. Yeah, they're, yeah.
All right. Let's recap what we've seen on the feeds this week since the last time we spoke. Kyle was evicted. That's not much else happened last week. Just straight up saw Kyle leave. We head into the following HOH looking like the numbers are about even in terms of who would target Ty and Jed, who would target Austin and Brayden. Numbers fell on the side of Ty and Jed as Victoria wins a tiebreaker against Tara. For as comfortable as the guys are in this game, they were very close to both hitting the block this week and could be just as close to hitting the block next week. But Vic won the HOH and she went ahead and put up Austin and Brayden anonymously. Now, most people have realized that it is her. Austin and Brayden are the most in the dark. They are still convinced that it's Ty. But most everyone else has realized that it's Vic and that she's lying to their faces. She did tell Kiefer that it's her. He is the only person that she outright told, although she did definitely. She told Jed that she had the have not pass, which was just further confirmation to him that it was her that is the HOH. One of the main reasons why people have realized that it's her is that she put herself on slop along with the two nominees and the prior HOH, and then nobody claimed the have not pass. and of course, just in general, the acting job that she's done. We talk about the details of all of why she's been caught and what she's been doing in the updates if you are looking for more of that. But the basics are that Austin and Brayden go up on the block. Ro is going to go ahead and win the veto. He is not going to use the veto, though, after promising that he would, which definitely put a sour taste in Austin and Brayden's mouths there, as they were very upset with many things this week, including being put on slop and the block. How dare anybody do this? It's a monstrous thing to do. And also not having the veto used on them.
In regards to the slop thing, I was trying to think of like what would have been Victoria's better option. Cause I think like she obviously thought that like, well, if I put myself on slop, no one will think it's me. But like, you're right in that it's literally the two nominees and then the previous HOH, who it can't be. And then the only other person is her. So like, I mean, it kind of like, it's like, well, why was she targeted? Like, it doesn't make any sense unless like she's trying to prove something. So I think like what I might have done, or at least like what I was trying to think about, was like maybe just putting like random people on slop. Like, I mean, like putting one of like Jed and Ty, and then putting one of Austin and Brayden, and putting one of like, you know, just like picking random people. And then it just confuses everyone and no one really knows what's going on. Mm-hmm. Or like, I don't know. And also like, I don't know if I think that Victoria putting Austin and Brayden on the block is her best move. Like, and at the same time, it's like, okay, she's invisible HOH. What would be the best move? Like, I don't know. Maybe the best move is to just like cause some chaos by putting like one of Austin and Brayden and one of Jed and Ty, or like something like that. I don't know. Just like, cause I don't know if it makes sense for her to get out Jed or Ty or Austin or Brayden. I don't think it was the right move necessarily for her to win HOH this week. So I think that like maybe just like causing some chaos and putting just like a couple random people up there so that no one knows who HOH is. Like maybe that, I don't know. What do you guys think?
Like to me, when you hear what the invisible HOH entails, not only are you going to be safe because you're the HOH, but you can also participate in the next one to me. And you can participate in the veto this week. So like, that's like, you're literally being given more and more ammo to use in the game. That's the main benefit. So like low key do hear what you're saying, where maybe putting one on each side just for maximum chaos. But this, I would have to be Melissa. It has to be someone who's capable of keeping this low key and keeping this under wraps. And Victoria is just not that person. There was no world where Victoria could have hid this. I think that for the have nots, definitely you like cherry pick from like one from each pair. Give me like Jed, Tara, and Austin. And you pick mm-hmm. those three, and then you pick one more for good measure. And then you just eat. Like, I feel like I would much, because if I'm, there's a chance I'm going to get caught as, oh, I was the HOH. I would like to be eating, so it doesn't seem like I was being extra mean and fake by putting myself there to be like, mm-hmm. oh man, someone really like messed with us. Let's sharpen them pitchforks. Like, I don't want it. That's way too deceptive at that mm-hmm. point as well.
Yeah, because if you get caught, it's like, okay, so you not only, there's one thing about like, okay, I got HOH and I'm keeping quiet about it. And there's another thing to be like, that HOH put me on slop. I can't believe it. Oh, we're all so upset, aren't we guys? And it's like, that's another thing, because that's not just being quiet about you being HOH. That's you purposefully, you know, leading everyone to believe that you're not it, and possibly like getting people worked up about getting put on slop. I feel like, yeah, you're right. I think people might get a little more upset about that one.
Yeah. And I agree, Melissa. I think that this was the wrong call to make in terms of nominations. If you look at the two sides of the house right now, You know, and we'll talk about this in more detail when we get to the state of the house. But there's the side with the triangle, and that's Jed, Ty, and Beth. They have Kiefer, who will not take a shot at them until very late game at most. And you have then on the other side, you have Tina, Tara, Roe, Austin, Braden. So you have like four people on one side, five people on the other side. Victoria feels like she can like go, okay, I'm going to fit right in here with the bros. I'm in a secret alliance with them called the Ghost Peppers. Like I'm in with, Kiefer. Like I'm well embedded in this power structure. The reality is that she is seen as not only expendable, but a threat to the structure of the triangles game. They're going to keep her around to use her as much as they can, but they will take a shot at her at the earliest given opportunity, according to themselves. And that's how they talk about Vic when she's in power. We've seen how quickly they turn away from their allies, Alec Kiefer, this week when they're not in power. This is not a good place for Vic to fit in, which means that by attacking the other side, and the other side knows that she's now attacked them, she has fully cast her lot into this structure where she either needs to get to the end with that triangle plus Kiefer, whatever, and then fully win out from there because she's the very first target on that list. Or she has to hope and pray that the other side wins some HOHs and takes shots at the triangle that don't end up landing on her, which they very well could. And so it really takes a lot of the agency out of her game and puts it in the hands of that triangle and the other side, really. And if the other side doesn't win, it puts her in this bad spot. Kiefer's in the same position where he keeps aiding this one side, but they are too tight with each other. And so the reason I think that Vic should have gone with the other side is that it's two pairs and Ro, who is a big target, and she could easily slide in there, easily continue to play the middle while the other side gets a shot taken at them. She still has Kiefer on the other side. She's in with Tina Tara, who are happy now that she's with them. The only reason Tina Tara aren't with her now is because they know that she sided with the guys and that she's running to the guys. She's also got Austin Braden, the glossy posse power, whatever it is. And none of these people are super close to each other. They're in duos, but that's actually a great thing for your end game because you get to have that solo spot. So worst case scenario, Vic is in a great position for the end game and against people who are less capable in competitions that are going to be easier to beat. So all around, I just feel like it's a much better path on the other side of things. However, she has chosen to go with the triangle. She really does seem to have taken a liking to Jed and Ty and really enjoys being in with them, Puya.
Yeah, this is what she wanted from her first HOH train. Like these are the two people she's wanted to ride with. She wanted LaToya out so she could take over LaToya's spot. This has been her dream from the beginning. And I did not see this deviating at all. This is very clearly something she wants. Now, do I agree with you that she is, you know, casting her lot with people where she's in the bottom completely? Yes. Do I think that because of her acumen in the competitions, she's not going to be looked at to be taken far? Yes. Do I think that she should realize that, hey, when there's a triangle and I come in to be a square, that's still three corners that are not with me. I'm one corner alone. Yes. So there's a lot of mistakes. Like there's a lot of things for me that lead to, you shouldn't have gone in this direction. There were many other directions you could have gone, but it's hard when she feels like she's doing it right. Because I will tell you, man, these two boys, they know exactly how to play the social game with this house within this dynamic. Literally, Kiefer wins. They gas him up. Kiefer's like, these are my guys. I love them. She wins. They gas her up. She's like, these are my guys. I love them. And they will keep coming back to them. And they will keep continuing doing this rotation. And it's going to end up well for them. So if anything, I want to commend them for being able to navigate the feelings and thoughts of both Kiefer and Victoria during these HOH reigns.
Yeah. So, with Austin going home this week, which seems pretty locked in at this point, we have, you know, in preparation for next week, I just wrote down targets for next week. And I also kind of ranked people in order of like most likelihood of going home. Because I do think there's a hierarchy here. And I think really the most interesting thing to look at is who's targeting who, because there are slight differences, right? So first of all, something to take into account. Now, people talk about throwing competitions prior to the competition all the time. And I feel like I'm constantly reminded of the Jackson Hawley situation where they constantly felt comfortable. We won't win this one. And then they did. And they needed to, because if they hadn't, they would have been out. And so it's, again, like, and I'll talk about this more when we get to the Stockwatch portion. But when you rate a player like that, like Jackson was pretty consistently at like 5-6 because he was always one HOH away from being gone out of that house. But then he never lost that one HOH. And so it was fine. And so in retrospect, it's like, how could you have rated him so low? Because he was one inch, he was one step away from death the whole time. That's how like a lot of this house feels. And so, and the thing that brought me to this is that Jackson Hollywood talk all the time about we're throwing this HOH. And they never ended up doing it, but I was constantly criticizing them for it. So when Kiefer, Ty, Jed, and Beth all talk about how they don't want to win the HOH this week, I'm like, guys, Kiefer doesn't need to, but Ty, Jed, and Beth, you really need to. You'd better. They probably will, but it's still like, guys. So anyway, Kiefer, Ty, Jed, and Beth all have said that they don't really want to win the HOH because they feel very comfortable. If Kiefer did win the HOH, however, I do believe that he would put up Roe and Bray. Roe and Brayden would be his nominations. Roe would be the target. Roe would go home unless he wins the veto. If he did win the veto, that would be a very tricky spot for Kiefer and probably why he does not want to win the HOH. He would not want to put up Tara because of pre-90s. He would not want to put up Vic because Vic, and he would definitely not want to put up Triangle. So he'd be in a very tough spot. And I think that's why he is the most likely person to actually throw this HOH. We also have Vic, who I do think will compete and try to win the HOH. She would put up probably Roe and Brayden as well. Maybe Roe and Tara, but I think that's a little bit less likely. She has already kind of taken a shot at Brayden and kind of has a thing with Tara, even though Tara now doesn't trust her, but she doesn't know that right now. Ty, Jed, and Beth, all again, don't really think they need to win, but if they did, it would probably be either Roe and Tara or Roe and Brayden, depending on circumstances of that week. My guess is that they'd probably back away from Roe and Tara because... if they're going to put up Roe as their target, they don't want to piss off Tara in the meantime. And they'd probably use Tara as the replacement target if Roe came down. And then you have Roe, Tina, Tara, and Brayden all pretty much on the same page, would put up Ty and Jed. However, there was some talk this morning from Tara that she might have some kind of like pawn plan where she puts up like Beth and Brayden or something, or Beth and something else, maybe Vic, I don't know. But I don't think she'll end up following through with that plan, just because if she's actually HOH and she's actually talking about it, they'll be like, no, wait a minute, we don't have the numbers. It's just a really dumb plan. I don't actually see it happening, but there's a small chance that it does. And then there's also a small chance that Brayden could theoretically switch sides, go somewhere else, depending on the legitimacy of a certain rendezvous that occurred last night. So there's a couple reasons for these things that that we'll get into. The main one I think that everyone is talking about today is that Brayden and Ty, something happened last night. We don't know what, Melissa.
Yeah, we don't know what. We don't know. We don't know if anything happened. Allegedly, there's a little something. Allegedly.
A little bit. Puya, do you know? Do you know what happened?
I mean, if there was tea, I wouldn't know about it. I'm drinking coffee, so I don't really have.
Do you actually not know?
I don't know. I'm in the dark. I'm invisible right now. Yeah. So, So here's the thing. Something happened. We don't know the full extent of it. They're not letting us know the full extent of it. It's a lot of like putting together different whisper puzzles to try and figure it out. So it's still inconclusive, but it sounds like a something. So it's something.
Yeah, it sounds so like, I guess I could barely understand the conversation between Bray and Austin. But basically, like, it sounded like he was telling her that something happened and it seemed like she asked if they kissed and he said something like, he said like more. Well, don't know.
She was asking. So she was asking what percentage they went to. And he was like, what does that mean?
None of us know.
She went on to describe the percentages in gesture form. Which is probably the most explicit way of describing those things. And so he said, at some point throughout the day, I will say a percentage to you and you will know what that means. So people were looking out for the percentages and have not heard any percentages. Since then, there has been a conversation recently that implied to me that Brayden has already said the percentage and the feeds were not on them when it happened, and so we missed it.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So can I just get a clarification? And I would love to be educated on this if I am just in the dark on this once more. What do the percentages mean anything? Like
everybody knows the percentages.
No, yeah, we know the bases. I know
we
the
all
bases,
know
the
percentages. It's a classic thing. The percentage of a kiss or a percentage of the way, you know.
I know like one digit in the percentages that I would know what it means. The rest of it, I couldn't tell you. Like I feel like I'm in the dark on this. Like,
I mean, it goes from, she goes with a little touch to the mouth. That's the it starts with the kissing. Right. And then it starts to get a little more explicit, a little touchy.
I know that. Kapuya, like, you know what are the numerical values? Like, but what is it? 12%.
I think it was something
start
like
at the beginning, Puya. Do you know that first it starts with nothing? Like you're not touching.
Yes, 0%.
Then that's 0%. Then you know.
I don't like what y'all are doing to me, right? Like I need education. Like yeah, this. No.
So Puya, so slowly it ramps up in percentage.
I don't think you understand? You see, Puya, there's a kiss. Sometimes you know, like the lips are touching. That's something that possibly happens.
Things
sometimes
things can get a little rowdy.
Go further.
Yes, and at that point you're like, percentage is going up here.
Like the percentage increase.
Yes, and then. And people are like, this is a great, I'm happy that the percentage is increasing. I am consenting to said percentage. I'm pretty sure that's
how it goes.
Welcome
to the round table, Puya. This is what happens every week. We go over the percentages. We tell them.
Stop saying poor Liana in the chat, okay? This is a bit. This is not a thing. Stop it. Stop the nonsense. Look,
hey, guys. Puya is the nipple king. He knows about percentages.
He knows his percentages.
He knows exactly what percentage.
Yeah, we can
goodbye.
Tell you.
I'm leaving. I'm invisible.
We can tell you.
Over.
Puya knows his percentages. So don't you be worried about that.
So the numbers, Tammy has the numbers 15%, 35%, 65%, and then 100%. That's how it went there. And okay. you can infer from there about everything else. So that's kind of been the storyline of the day. What happened? What percentage? And what does it mean moving forward for Ty and Brady? There was another conversation that happened recently where it seemed a little bit like Brayden is unsure about the future of Ty and Brayden as well. That perhaps it's me reading into it seemed to imply that he didn't quite understand what it meant, if it meant anything. He said he wanted to he almost told Beth because he wanted to ask Beth about it, I guess. We've seen zero indication from Ty that anything has happened at all. No idea, but it wouldn't surprise me if nothing really comes of this. It would definitely be interesting if something did, and we turned this into a love square. But that would be very upsetting to Victoria. So Brayden needs to be very careful about who finds out about this.
It's I think it's interesting. I think it opens up an interesting dynamic, especially if he stays this week. I just think that, like, strategy wise, it's very good for him to be building relationships and building some sort of like in with that group, whether it's, you know, an in this way or an in a different strategic way. I don't know. But it is, you know, I do think it's very good for Brayden if this is actually something. And, I'd be interested to see where it goes. That's for sure.
All right. Well, that's the Ty and Brayden thing. Who knows what that has any impact on moving forward from now? Because I've been wondering, I think a lot of people have been wondering, like, where does Brayden go once Austin is gone? Because he has not really been anywhere but with Austin since Austin has been in the house. So Austin's gone, where does he go? Maybe it's to Ty. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But maybe not. Who knows? The other thing is that this whole Tara thing, talking about potentially not putting Ty and Jed up on the block immediately. There was some speculation that she was talked to about the microaggressions that she has displayed toward Ty in particular. But also Jed. And it did strike me as a bit of a coincidence that the following morning, she's all of a sudden talking about how she doesn't want to put them both up on the block right away. And I'm wondering if perhaps that this adds some validity to the idea that she was talked to. Maybe she wasn't. Maybe we were overthinking this. But then she did this and I was like, I still kind of feel like she wasn't, but it's possible, Booyah.
I would hope so, right? I would hope so. Like, I think she needs it. She needs the talking to. She needs to be, you know, made aware of these things. Now, as far as are they going to give her the complete, like, educational route of, like, here's why what you're saying can be problematic and could be bad, I don't think so. Maybe it's just more of a be aware of it, but it's, I need it to stop for my sanity because it is too much. I 100% have shared the sentiment you have that it is like, I don't like it. I don't like how she's, you know, doing all this. I don't know exactly what was said with Roe yesterday with the Simpsons, which, like, I'm glad there's no evidence of that because, again, like, literally, like, to be a brown guy, it's like, yeah, you're either Tom Haverford or Apu from The Simpsons. And that's the joke all the time, which is very frustrating. Mm-hmm. So I just hope that stuff's going to sort itself out. But yeah, no, Tara's got some problems that she needs to definitely learn from her fellow house guests and other sources when she gets out of the house. But as far as this question specifically of, did she get a speaking to? Is that why she changed her mind? I would lean yes, because honestly, I just don't see a world where she just magically wakes up one morning and says, the two guys that I've been pestering about this whole time, yeah, I don't feel like putting them up anymore. Mm-hmm. That's a little bit like suspect to me.
And that's part of why I feel like it might not stick. It reminds me a lot of when Danny was like, can't touch Ian. No, sir. No way. After they had a talking to, but that did not last very long. So I'm not sure that this will stick, both in the sense of it's strategically completely unsound And also in the sense that it just doesn't tend to stick, right? So we'll see. We'll see. Let's talk about the state of the House. Let's talk about where these people are. So I've kind of explained this already, but you've got the triangle, Ty, Jed, and Beth. You've got Kiefer and Vic, who are kind of working for the triangle. They've got their own kind of deal going on, but they've won back-to-back-to-back HOHs, and I guess not the first HOH of that, but in Vic's own way, she thought that she was doing them a favor by taking out Toya. But they have kind of been doing work for the guys to help set them up as well as possible. They are numbers for the triangle. You then have on the other side of the house, the remnants of the oddballs, which is Tina and Tara, who are a duo. And then Ro and Brayden will be sort of left over from previous duos. And I think that they'll get back together, personally. I don't think that Brayden's going to go to the other side. Possible. I still don't know what happened with him and Ty, but I think it's more likely he goes with Brayden, with Ro. It just feels like strategically it's the only place for him to go. If he tried to go in another direction, I think that would just put a bigger target on his back from people like Kiefer and Vic, who would be like, no, you don't get our spot. And that would not be great.
Well, I also think it's possible that he stays with Ro and like stays on that side of the house, but then kind of like has a relationship, like a working relationship, yes, with Ty, and kind of like uses that moving forward, which I think would be really good for him. Like, I don't think he needs to just like get in with the thruple. Yes. I think that like having Ty on the side is like a good strategic thing for him.
I think best case scenario for Ty here is that like if Brayden wins and there is some kind of relationship there, the bullets go right by and, Jed and Beth are on the block instead of Ty and Jed. Right. And then that would be sort of like how he manages to get around that, which would be great for Ty because he's remaining the target between him and Jed continuously. But we'll have to wait and see on that one. I think we also then kind of have the middle group, the pre-90s, the Tina, Tara, Kiefer group. And they kind of also a little bit have Vic, but they don't really trust her. Tina and Tara have fully lost trust with Vic. They think that she is basically a pawn for the triangle, which, it seems like she kind of is to some degree. And so they will not give her any information anymore. They do not trust her in the game. So she's not really with them, but she still kind of feels like she's a middle group person.
Quick side question.
Yes.
Do you think Vic should have told people about her being HOH this week? Not like everybody, but do you think there are certain people that she could have built some rapport and trust with by telling them, hey, I'm the HOH. I don't want to put you up and I want to work with you. Just don't like tell anyone I'm the HOH. You know what I mean?
For
sure. Maybe if she did that with Tina and Tara, it would have been helpful for her moving forward and built some sort of connection with them.
I mean, if she was able to get away with blaming it on somebody else, great. She shouldn't have told anybody, including Kiefer. And if she had been able to get away with it, great. But given the fact that she can't get away with it, she should just basically tell everyone because, other people knowing a secret about you and you not knowing that they know that secret, is a very, very bad place to be when you are trying to have a relationship with them. That adds that level of like, there's this gap in between you, this unspoken thing that they know something and you don't know that they know something. Right. And you're lying to them and they know that you're lying to them.
Yeah, you know that they're not, telling the truth. They know that you're not telling the truth to them.
Exactly. Definitely. So, and if, Vic does not strike me as the type to, like, she does not exactly invite people to sort of like challenge her and be like, hey, Vic, we know you're the HOH. She'd be like, what?
Why would you say that?
How dare you?
Yeah. I also think that it's a different situation if you're somebody who needs to make a big move that you out in the open could not make. Like, I think there's a difference between like if she had like some person that she needed to get out, but she couldn't do it out in the open, like our normal HOH. I think that then that would be a little bit of a different scenario. Whereas this week, it's like, she didn't really have any like set target that needs to be like, she needs to be kept secret for. It's kind of like, yeah, okay. So she's choosing to go after Austin and Brayden. Like, okay, that's that. Like, I don't know. I just feel like there isn't some sort of reason for her to really be hidden, you know, or at least pretend to not, or I guess not reveal it to people, even though they already know it's you. Like, there just doesn't seem to be that reason there. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think ultimately with Victoria specifically, like the fact that Victoria, one of all people, like she kind of played her HOH week as if it was invisible. Like the way she like bent over backwards to be like, no, this isn't my target. LaToya is not my target. When she could have just said it to end it, did not. She is literally the definition of quadruple down. So no matter what she does, she just sticks to her guns and like deny till you dies it, which is good in some instances, but in moments like this where she could literally use this as capital to further herself in the game, she doesn't, and she hinders herself, in my opinion, because she spends so much energy trying to like navigate this one week that by the next week she doesn't have anything else to use to like make her movements. Like last week we talked about, if Kiefer was not the one to win, she would have been in a bad spot. So she got lucky because Kiefer won.
Yeah, definitely. So that's pretty much where the house stands. If I were so given where everyone is sort of pointing their target right now, given that, you know, Kiefer might not want to win, that maybe Ty and Jed and Beth might not be trying their hardest, you know, we're looking at, I still think that Ro is the most likely person to leave next week. He is the most likely person to be targeted. I think he will need to win that veto for the third week in a row. And if not, then he is, they're, you know, they're going to try to
send the Rosho out the dojo.
They're going to try it again.
Too much mileage out of that clip.
I think that is going to be, he's the most likely person to leave, but I do think that number two and three, again, we've got at least four people looking to win this competition who would all, I think, go after Ty and Jed. Still up there at the top of the most likely to leave board. And then it gets a little more interesting from there. So top three would be Ro, Ty, Jed, probably in that order. But then you have Tara, and you have Brayden, and even like maybe a small side of Beth if a pawn situation goes wrong. Because I could see like Ty or Jed winning the veto, Beth going up as the replacement, and then like Vic and Kiefer and Ty and or Jed all voting to get rid of Beth instead of Ty or Jed, which everyone remains on the block. And then they just need like one more vote, and maybe they could send Beth out. I don't think that's super likely, because where do they find that extra vote? But that's, I mean, those numbers are kind of close. So I think it's possible Beth could even leave. And then you have Vic. I could see, here's the thing about Brayden. I could see Ty, Jed, Beth. I say I could see it. I think it will happen. If Brayden wins the HOH and goes to target Ty and Jed, they will be singing about how Victoria was the HOH this week. And that he did not know. And that, hey, did you know that Victoria nominated you and put you on slop? Can you believe she did that? And it would not surprise me if she found her way on the block and they tried to get her out. Would they succeed? Not likely. I think that Victoria is still one of the safer people. I would say safest people in backwards or no, I'll go in right order. Tina's probably the safest at this point, followed by Kiefer. Maybe they're tied. And then Vic would probably be the third safest. I think everyone else could go home. I don't see any scenario where Tina or could Kiefer. It's possible, but I don't think so. Yeah, I'm going to say Tina, then Kiefer, then Vic. I don't think Tina will go home. I don't think Kiefer will go home. Very small chance Vic goes home. What do you think, Booyah?
I will co-sign the Tina with you for sure. I think Tina's easily number one, least likely to go home, with also most capabilities to have longevity amongst the three that you mentioned. I think that she's someone who is kind of well insulated at the moment and is not really doing a lot. And I know you've been frustrated with this. You want more Tina. You want more Tina turning the game on. Yes. Yes.
Give me more.
Given the house, it's working for her for the moment. I do think if she upped it a little bit, she'd be more in control, but she's definitely in a position where I think that she's going to be completely fine and potentially have good landing spots no matter who ends up leaving that following Thursday. Regardless, as far as Kiefer and Victoria go, I do think that both of them are also probably of the least likely to end up leaving, but it's not impossible, because if someone really wanted them gone, they can use all of their social capital to potentially get that movement going, especially if they're sitting next to the right person. The veto gets won by the wrong person. It's definitely not out of the realm of possibility for me.
Yeah. And unlike Tina, like, there is a reason to target Kiefer or Vic. Like, even if nobody's targeting them right now, that may just be because they're safe right now. And if they have an opportunity, they might look at Kiefer and Vic as, hey, you guys have won more comps than anyone else. And that is that they are in a position where they could easily be targeted, and they're not great at preventing that. So I do agree. I would say Tina probably the safest, Kiefer and Vic next safest, but definitely not completely fine.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, are we ready to get into the Stockwatch?
Yes.
Let's do it. I'm excited. I'm nervous, but I'm excited.
Okay. I know.
Let's bring it up here. Here we go. This is the portion of the podcast where we rate the players individually, one by one, in a rating system from 1 to 10, 1 being playing terribly. Definitely can't win the game. They've done it to themselves. This is all-time bad play. 10 being, this is amazing. This is the best they could be doing, pretty much. They're very likely, they're most likely to win the game, probably. Doing very, very well. And 5 is, this is a house where anything can happen and everyone is basically the same chance of winning. Oh, am I spoiling the results? I polled the audience. I asked you guys how you felt about these players as well, and I had you guys rate the players. So we're going to take all of the ratings, combine them, average them out, and then they will be put into a formula which will calculate the stock price for each player, which will help the Stockwatch game, where you buy and sell shares of every player. So let's start here with Austin. Austin, who did not have a great rating last week. She was down at a 3. She was on the block. It was theoretically possible that a flip could happen. And she was continuing to not do very well here in the game. Puya, kick us off here. How do you feel about Austin this week?
So it's interesting, Taryn, because I'm going to end up probably explaining very, very emphatically my decisions here, because genuinely there are people that are going to have the same ratings for completely different reasons. And I'm going to explain those, make sure it's known. As far as Austin goes, she was on the block last week. Could have flipped, didn't flip, survives, cool. However, now on the block this week, the target this week literally keeps speaking as if her and the person on the block can both survive, which is not a thing, is pretty much not talking to half the house, has from the beginning tied her game to one entire person who is on the block with her and is the main target to go. I gave Austin a whopping 2.
The 2. She got the 2. Mm-hmm. See, I was giving you the option, Puya, of having your very first rating being we were just starting off with a 1, because that's where I am with Austin. I gave her a 1. I think it's the first one of the season for me, but she has played poorly all season long. And I really feel like she's put herself in this position. I do not think she has done anything to help her spot. Her campaigning has been terrible. She basically put a target on herself last week when on the block. She didn't need to. There's no reason for anybody to be targeting Austin right now, let alone Vic. And the fact that she is being targeted is just terrible. It's terrible. I see no path for her to survive this week. And I think that she has so far been the worst player on the block of the entire season. And thus she will receive a one from me.
Way harsh, Taryn. I'm going to have to go with Puya and give her a two. I totally get what you're saying, Taryn. My thought with giving a two, though, is I don't want to give a one unless there's like absolutely no chance that they don't go home, like that they survive this week. So I think that it's not, for me at least, it's like it's not totally set in stone that Austin is going to leave this week. I know it's like right now it seems that way and it's all heading in that direction, but I could see a scenario where Brayden leaves. And I think there are differences for me in a week where somebody is on the block versus someone who could also be a target, like could also go home, versus someone who's never going to go home. And I think that at this point, yes, she's probably going home, but I don't think she's completely dead in the water, just like, you know, drowning. So, that's why I give her a two.
All right. Can you, because I don't see a scenario where she stays personally. I think that basically Ty, Jed, and Beth are fully locked in. They want her gone. They've wanted her gone for weeks now, or, you know, all over a week now. And then Kiefer also very much has wanted her gone ever since she nominated him. Definitely wants Austin gone. Either Kiefer has to flip or all of Ty, Jed, and Beth have to flip. And I just don't see that scenario.
Well, I'm not going to lie. I was partially influenced by Stacked in the chat, who gave a conspiracy theory, I guess, or like some scenario, some outlandish scenario where they find out that Brayden and Ty have like hooked up or whatever. And Victoria's like, no, you're not getting in on that. And Victoria's like, we need to get Brayden out so he doesn't have an in with the triple. That's honestly like, I actually could see Victoria doing that.
But she doesn't even have a vote. Who does she convince?
No, she could convince literally anyone. I mean, I just think that it convinced me. I thought there was a scenario where that happens. And I think that there is a scenario where people could sense that Brayden is a bigger threat and it could flip. I'm not saying it's going to, I'm just saying there's a scenario. So, for me, that's just my thought.
To be fair, this is a season where, you know, there are a lot of players and Toya's still involved, and we all know that.
Because LaToya is going to flip it.
You know, Toya can flip it. She's the ghost of Toya.
I mean, so let me just say one thing real quick. If I agree with Melissa, there's a chance. Is it a big chance? No. Maybe less than 2% of a chance, potentially. If that happens, though, let me make it very clear. Austin will have nothing to do with it because Austin's not going to be able to pull
it off. No, it's true. It's
someone else is going to save her. It's not going to be herself.
I don't want people blaming Stacked. It honestly, it was not completely that. That was just like as a last minute thing. Like I just saw that and was like, you know, that is accurate. For me, I don't like to give out ones unless they're completely acting against their own self-interest or they are absolutely going home. There's absolutely no chance for them to stay. I don't give out ones very often. So that I just like do want to clarify that like that is also in my thought process is like if there's still a chance, I don't like to give a one. Because I don't want a scenario where I give someone a one and then they stay the next week.
It's fair.
I just don't like doing that.
Yeah. Well, the audience is with you guys. They gave Austin a two. I do think it's the lowest rating of the season, though, overall. All right, let's move on to Beth. Let's talk about Beth. I'll start with Beth. I see Beth in a position where she is not really being actively targeted. And that's great because, again, trying to look at long-term prospects in Big Brother Canada 9 right now, jury is about to start. I still don't see it. There's still way too much that is going to be left up to the competitions, and the competitions could go either way at this point, especially if they continue along the lines they've been having, where it's like not physical and it's been very crapshooty and it's been great and I've loved it. But with that in mind, with so much coming down to competitions, trying to project into the end game about like who can win jury votes, who has the best structure or path. There are no structures. There are no paths. It's just about winning competitions right now. Whose side is going to win? And who's going to make the right decisions? Probably none of them. It's just going to come down to who can win, and whose side can win the most. And so with that in mind, I don't like Beth's long-term prospects. I don't. I think that her path is bad. Going to the end with the two guys, I think the two guys will take each other. I think that I don't think that Kiefer would take her. I don't think that Vic would take her.
Sorry, just like before you give a rating, I just want to ask this really quick. Do you think that if one, two of the triple are on the block this next week, do you think that like that Ty keeps Jed over Beth? Like say Jed and Beth are on the block. Does Ty keep Jed? And then say it's reversed and Ty and Beth are on the block. Does Jed keep Ty?
I think that Ty 100% keeps Jed over Beth. I think that Jed like 65% keeps Ty over Beth.
Mm-hmm. I was leaning in that direction too. I mean, I kind of believe that the guys would take each other. I feel like they would sacrifice Beth in that situation. I do.
Yeah.
Continue.
Yes. So, with that in mind, I don't love those long-term prospects. I also don't love her jury prospects right now. But again, anything can change. So those long-term and jury prospects, I'm not putting a ton of weight into those right now. And I'm putting a lot more weight into who is safe heading into next week, who is safe for the longest, because that gives them the most amount of time to have an end game. And she is one of the safer people. But I could, as I said, very easily see her being a casualty if she ends up on the block. It's not good that Vic is in this game and wanting to come after her. It's not good that Ro really still does not like her. Brayden still does not like her. So overall, I just averaged out to a 5 for me. That's where I was on Beth last week. It's where I'm at with Beth this week. For as long as Ty and Jed remain in the game, she remains safe, which is great. But at the same time, they're preventing her from like overcoming them. So it's going to be a tricky spot all the way down here. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I to be honest, I'm waffling between a 4 and a 5 for Beth, just because I'm for a 5, like I'm leaning towards a 5 because she is safe. She does have those two guys. She is in a decent position. But I'm also leaning towards a 4 because, you know, she's not really like respected in the game by anyone else. Nobody trusts her. They think she's fake. They don't want to work with her. Like, where does she go if not with those two guys? Like, she's basically like hitched her wagon to those guys and that's it. Like, there's nothing else for her. She's kind of lost all her other connections. And even, you know, when she like starts to kind of build connections, it kind of just like doesn't work out. It doesn't happen for her for whatever reason. And, you know, so it's kind of throwing me off because yes, while she's safe right this second, I don't see her doing well moving forward. And that's kind of concerning to me. So I'm going to have to go down to a 4.
All right. Yeah.
So I also had 4/5 in my ratings initially when I wrote them down. And it's because you're giving her a 5 if you're thinking longevity, she's doing pretty well. You know, like she's in this triangle, but I think a lot of people when they're trying to target this triangle are looking at Jed and Ty touching the block, not necessarily Beth. However, I think the combination of, you know, lack of respect in the game is going to hurt her. I think that if the wrong person wins the veto, that could be detrimental for her. Cause I do think Beth is the type of player that if she's on the block and you have someone on the block that you want to save, that's someone you can easily orchestrate a flip onto. I think that's very possible given the fact that she's not as well insulated, I think. But ultimately, that is like the worst case scenarios for her. There is a lot of her that's just going to be okay because ultimately, a lot of people are looking at Jed and Ty first before Beth as like, we need to separate the two. So all of that to be said, for me personally, given looking at the ratings of other people, I think it's only appropriate for me to give Beth a 4 as well.
There you go. Well, the audience agreed with me on this one. They actually gave Beth a 5. And there you go. Let's talk about Brayden. Last week, Brayden had the highest rating of the week, thanks to Amon's 8 rating. Melissa, this week he's on the block. How do you feel about Brayden this week?
This is another tricky one because, you know, like on a similar level with as I did with Austin, like Brayden could go home this week. I could argue that he's probably not going home, but he could go home. I think that, you know, he has not done a very good job this week. I mean, neither has Austin, but we already knew that. But Brayden hasn't done a very good job this week of trying to stay, like to trying to play. I mean, I feel like we had talked last week about his social game being a lot better than Austin's, but you know, the fact that they've kind of like stuck together like glue, it kind of, it doesn't service him. And I think that, however, if she does leave moving forward, he could probably make some inroads. He could, you know, he does have that social ability to do well. And also, you know, I have to bring up the tie thing. If the tie thing is true and it does lead somewhere, that could be good. Like that could really benefit him. But, you know, there's the chance he goes home. He's on the block. He's losing an ally. But this could also be a situation where losing an ally is actually good for him, because the ally might have been a little bit of a detriment to him, just because, you know, when they hang out together, they don't hang out with anyone else. And also he's seen as a duo. The second she's gone, he's not seen as a duo anymore. He's much less of a threat. Maybe he just like people forget about him. So to be honest, this one's tough because it's like, I feel similarly. I'm waffling between a 4 and a 5, to be honest, because I'm thinking 5, but then I'm like, do I really want to give him a higher rating than Beth? Like who's actually in a decent spot?
It's tricky.
That's really hard. Okay. You know, he's on the block and I have to keep that in mind. He could go home. So I'm going to give him a 4, but the hope is that that goes up.
Yes, I'm with you here. I gave him a 4. And this is a position I think that Brayden is in a spot where he could rise. Next week could be a great week for him, or he could fall, and next week could be a terrible week for him. So I also went with a 4 here. As did the audience. The audience also went with a 4 for Brayden. So Puya, where do you stand?
All right. Like I said, I discussed these with Amon earlier, and Amon said the number 8 is great. I'm kidding. Relax, everybody. Hold on to your portfolios. No. So here's the thing. I had also initially, when I wrote these down, it was a 4/5. Brayden's someone who I think appropriately is going to end up with a 4 here, because we don't know what he's going to do following this week. We have not seen him as a player without Austin. With Austin, he was kind of locked down with Austin. The reason he got higher ratings is because Brayden has shown capability to be good socially and, you know, talk to a bunch of people in the house and hang out and, like, you know, make inroads. Again, the more and more him and Austin are getting closer, the less and less that was happening. I do think he's got the social chops to do better in the house without Austin. That's social. Strategically, it might not be incentive for anybody to bring him in potentially, but we don't know what he's capable of as of this moment. So I would have not felt comfortable giving him anything more than a 4, because also to give him a 5 would be that you have something going on right now. And the fact of the matter is you are on the block pending eviction of your either yourself or your number one ally, which is still a loss no matter how you look at it. So I think 4 is what I'm going to do as well.
Yeah. And it's just like, for me, last week I was higher on him because I felt like losing Austin would put him in a good spot. And I talked about this on the Stockwatch stream that I did on Twitch, where I felt like if the Sunsetter side won another HOH, that would put Brayden in a better spot, even if he does lose Austin, and it would put Tina and Tara in a worse spot, because I felt like the triangle would turn their eyes onto Tina and Tara. But Tara has outplayed Brayden this week. She has been working on the triangle, preventing herself from being in that spot, in that pawn spot. And so instead of wanting to protect Brayden and pull Brayden in, they feel like they can get rid of Tara and keep Tina. And Brayden is still an expendable pawn for them right now. And that's not where he needs to be. He is competing with Tara, with Tina for that spot, and he is currently losing. And that's why I have him even lower than I would have otherwise. And he is also on the block, to be fair, but I don't think he's leaving. So let's move on.
Oh, that's a drop. 7-4.
7-4.
Now, like, listen, I was holding. Half of my stocks were Braden last week when Amon blessed it up, sold them immediately. This might be the place where you, if you trust in Braden's capabilities, this is a good time for you to invest in Braden moving forward. Yeah. That's if you're willing to take that risk.
Very true. So let's talk about Jed. We can start with the audience this time, who gave Jed a 5 this week. Mm-hmm. Same as last week. Puya, how do you feel about that?
I've written down 5 as well. And here's why. So I mentioned earlier, I'm going to have people that are going to have the same ratings for different reasons. I mentioned during this very podcast that both Jed and Ty are just so, so good at navigating this house socially. They're able to make people feel comfortable. They are, I would argue, the two people that put in the most effort with as many people as they can. Obviously, one of their biggest hindrances is how much they've got a good triangle going, because the more and more every other person is losing a piece of their alliance, they're not. So obviously the eyes are going to keep being on them. Jed is somebody who, you know, you talked about, you put comparisons to someone like, you know, Mickey in 21, where if he doesn't win this comp, like if his side doesn't win this comp, he's on the block. Literally, yeah. He's on the block. And that's the worst part for him. But I think that he's someone that, if he, you know, if the competition goes right, has longevity, someone who's capable of winning stuff, someone who's very good socially by the looks of it. The strategic part, there's moments that are hit, there's moments that are missed, but there's definitely good moments there. So I do love that. And I think that, you know, Jed can be long for this world. And ultimately, I think a 5 makes sense, just because when it comes down to what happens in the comp, you don't want to be in that spot. But there's a lot of implications at stake there. So I can't give him a 6 at all. Like, if 5 is where he stays for now. And because also the other thing, let's be honest, is that I think I would argue that Jed would be the one that would be looked at leaving over Ty if they're on the block together. Would you? Or is that like more of a toss up to the two of you? Either way, it's a 5.
So and I'll talk about this when I talk about Ty and Jed. But like consistently, Ty seems to be the person that would be targeted. Kiefer has said Jed is his boy from day one. Ty, sorry. Which surprises me, because I see Kiefer talking game more with Ty, but apparently that's how Kiefer feels. It seems like Vic seems to have the better relationship with Jed. She's told him more than she's told Ty. Beth has a better relationship with Jed right now, at least. The other side has better relationships with Jed over Ty. It seems consistent across the entire house that they would all want to keep Jed over Ty. Now, that's what happened with Kyle and Ro. So it could be that once they hit the block, they all think that Jed is more dangerous. But as of right now, they all see Jed as the person they would want to keep, and Ty as the kind of person they harder to get a read on Ty. He's more chill. He's a little more reserved. Jed has a kind of earnestness to him that he feels like you can read him. It feels like you can read his emotions on his face. Ty, harder to read. And that prevents people from getting closer to him, I think. And on top of that, Jed is also, I think, slightly more capable in the competitions, at least from what we've seen so far. He won a veto against, I think Ty was also competing in that one. And then he's just in general performed better than Ty in competitions. So for me, Jed is the person more likely to survive. And that's why I am so torn. Like, I want to give Jed the 6 because I do think that this triangle as a whole is in a great spot. It's going to be really hard to take them out. I think they're in a great spot jury wise. And, you know, if they do win this next HOH, and the fact that Vic is competing is huge for them, then they're going to be in a great spot. The further they last without the shot being taken, the better a path they have. But it's hard for me to give someone a 6 when I feel like they could be leaving next week. And it's very likely that that could happen. So it's like, it's very tough for me, because it feels counterintuitive. Melissa, what do you think?
That sounded like a me conversation with myself.
I know.
Where I just like go back and forth for like 5 minutes and everyone's like, okay, all right, next topic. No, but it's true. It does feel that way. That's why I always think that. For Jed, it's one of those things where I'm kind of in like a holding pattern. It feels like, I feel like I'm waiting to see what happens. Right now I have to stick with my five because I don't really know. Like I think he's doing well, but I think it could just all fall apart. You know, you don't know. So, he's doing well for now, but we'll have to see. So I have to just stick with my five.
Yeah. All right. I'll go with you guys. I'll go with you guys. I'll give him a five. It was tough for me because I feel like the sum of the triangle's parts are greater than I totally screwed that up. The individual parts, the sum is greater than the individual parts. Overall, I think the triangle is probably at like at least a six or a seven. I think one of them is in a decent spot, but like which one of them? I don't know. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of time to take all three of them out, but they're in so much danger right now. Yeah, I'm going to go with, I can't put faith into his competition. If they get put up on the block next week and Jed goes home, I'm going to feel like a doofus if I give him a six. But it feels wrong. It feels like he's in such a good spot, but he's not. Right. You have to keep telling yourself that. All right. Okay. Anyway. All right. Next up we have Kiefer. Pooya, let's start with you.
10. I'm kidding. If
just
he was
call
here,
me
he
the
was
Grim Kiefer, because I am ripping these duos apart.
Negative 10 now. No, so like here's the thing with Kiefer, right? So now we talked about Jed. I gave him a 5. Now we're talking about Kiefer, and he is in the same park grade wise, but for different reasons. His reason we discussed earlier, the fact that he's part of the bottom three people most likely to leave is one of them. Him being this delusional that when he's bigging himself up, talking about his speech, he's like the best thing since sliced bread. That is a good and a bad thing for him. It's a good thing because if he's got confidence, we've seen him. He plays better with confidence. He does his he does more. He thinks more strategically. He tries and operate more socially. He's on. And we've seen him when he's not winning. He's in the dumps. He's not even thinking. His brain's, he's like, I'm going to nominate myself. Like, I'm just going to go tell them to put me up. So he's very up, down, up, down, up, down. But ultimately, I got to look at the fact that he's kind of got longevity. I think he's fine for the next reign. I really don't think he's going to be the one going. He's already like been someone who's sat on that block, so that's not going to be a new experience for him. So for me, I think he ends up getting a 5, but not for the same reasons that Jed got a 5.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's pretty fair. That's where the audience is at with Kiefer. Let me tell you one thing that I don't like about Kiefer's game. And that's that in his whole, recapping of the game, and talking about like all the things that he's done and everything, he was studying in that conversation, right? He was going over days, and as he was going over days, he was screwing him up. He got him wrong. he messed it up, and then he corrected himself, and he was like, oh, no, it's this one. And that was wrong. So that does not bode well for me, because Kiefer is somebody that is going to need to rely on those endgame comps, I think. And if he is getting those wrong when he's studying, and I know that he's giving people wrong answers on purpose, but this was when he was alone. Obviously it's easy to get something wrong when you're studying. You might've just misspoke, but the fact that he corrected himself and was also wrong tells me that like in a high pressure situation, when you have to come up with the answer fast, I don't know that he's going to be able to do that. So that's not good news for Kiefer. Obviously the one question competition that he did well in, he didn't actually he only answered one question. They just got the questions wrong next to him. And that wasn't a studying competition. It was like a, what are you see kind of competition kind of thing. But if this is indicative of his quiz performance, that That is a concern to me because Kiefer is in a spot right now where he has to win in the end, because he already has built this reputation. He is not in the Tina spot where she'll get dragged. And then if she wins, bonus, he is in the Vic spot where people are going to take him out because they're worried about him. So he'd better win. He doesn't have enough close allies who will keep him safe. So that concerns me. I don't love how he played this week. He was HOH last week. He did so much work for Ty and Jed. He put so much work in for them. He's the one that got Vic back on board with them. He's the one that took out Kyle for them when they begged him not to. He is the one who has done so much work for them. The second he was wasn't HOH anymore, they dropped him. And he misplayed that. He played it like a jilted lover. Why are you hanging out with Ro now? And they didn't like that. And they're like, why is he so needy? Why does he question us? And they don't want anything to do with him anymore. They're like, we're not loyal to Kiefer. We're using him, but he's not with us. And that's a bad place to be. And we've talked about this a lot. They don't respect him in the game. And it's really showing, I think, in how they're handling him now that he's not in power. And it concerns me for, again, like potential endgame stuff. So Kiefer's another one. Endgame, I hate it, but currently very safe. And I feel like he has a lot of time to potentially make something work. So for me, I agree. I went with the five for Kiefer. Melissa.
Yeah, I'm at a five as well. I think we're in a weird like holding pattern right now with these players. Like, I just feel like we don't know exactly how it's going to go after this week. So it could go either way. And so I don't necessarily feel comfortable giving people, I'm going to be honest, I don't really feel comfortable giving people above a five this week, just because I don't really know. Like, everyone's kind of in this weird situation, and it really depends who wins HOH and who's the target. So, I think that Kiefer is playing fine. I think he's doing fine, but I think that he's not in a super great position. And I don't know if moving forward, he knows kind of how to maneuver himself so he is in a good position. So yeah, right now I'm kind of up in the air and I have to give him a five.
All right. So that's going to be straight fives for Kiefer. Let's talk about Ro. Last week I gave Ro a four. I was hopeful for his future. I was hoping that he's basically in the Brayden spot right now, where he was last week in the spot where Brayden is now, where anything can happen next week. Who knows? And I feel like he failed that test. He went in the wrong direction. I've talked about this in the updates. He really screwed up. He went from flying high. There was a brief moment of hope for people who went in on the, he's now being called the rowboat after the Titanic last week, of people who bought in on row. And it's not looking good for the rowboat here because he really screwed up. He is the prime target next week, the most likely person to go home, in my opinion. And even here's the thing, even if he does survive next week, he is still in a lot of danger. He needs a major shakeup for himself to get himself out of this. I feel like I'm generously giving him a four right now, because it's not looking great. Puya, what do you think?
Row, row, row your boat. So here's the case, right? So let's look at the positives first. Loses number one ally. Okay. Doesn't touch the block the following week. That's good, right? Wins the veto. Doesn't use the veto to help other allies potentially. Why? It's pre-jury still. I need to get in good with the people that are going to be there long term. Everything up until that moment, I was like, game, bet. Sounds good. Lovely stuff. Those of you on the boat, you're chilling. Everything's fine. Then we get to that conundrum where he literally, within seconds of getting himself a very good grade, decides, I am going to go and talk to Beth And I am going to go tell Beth that she needs to turn on the two from the triangle, which, again, he was literally given capital. He could have literally held on to that. That was a low risk investment. It would have yielded 7% till mid-jury. He would have been fine. That's a good place to be. And then he goes ahead and gives it away to Beth, right? Now, with Roe, he was a 4 last week sitting on the block. He didn't touch the block. Himself That's off. A plus for me. He took himself off the block. Sorry. He wins the veto again. He's someone that I think is showing capable of winning the veto comp wise. Like his comps versus Kiefer's comps, where you could argue Kiefer's like one HOH was a one answer thing. His was more of an activity. But ultimately, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm in the rowboat with the people. I'm in the rowboat with the people. And this was not going to be, it was a 6 when the week was going well. And over here, it's not going above a 5 for me. I'm going to give him a 5 because, and let me explain why here, because he made it off. He didn't touch the block the week after. It's good. I know we're talking about, he can go on the block, right? So could Jed still. Jed is still someone who could also touch the block, which I think is worrisome for him. But I think that Roe could maybe survive. And I would also argue that in the position that Roe is in, Victoria is someone who was literally going to be touching the block right after her reign. And Kiefer saves her by being the only person that wouldn't put her on the block. So I don't think it's impossible that this guy's going to do worse. I think he's his own worst enemy for sure. For sure. But at the same time, he's just one person who could only go up from where he's at or just go out immediately. So to those of you who are like, wow, a 5, nice. You could be making the dumbest thing by putting more money into this guy this week, or you could just leave before it gets worse. So do what you want to do with that rating from me.
It's very funny because I was like, after I gave the 4, I was like, who am I talking me into a 3?
You really thought I was going to come in with that?
I almost came in with that. Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. I'm between a 3 and a 4 at this point. I think what's pushing me towards a 4 is that while he's not leaving this week, so he still has a chance to turn it around. But do I think he will turn it around? Do I think he like has the skills and the strategy and the social game to actually pull it off or like do put himself in a good position next week while he's here? And I don't feel like I believe that he has that. I don't know. I just feel like he kind of puts his foot in his mouth every time he like tries to do something strategic. And I feel like it makes me concerned. And also the fact that he's like the biggest target going into next week. I think what's throwing me off a little bit is I gave Brayden a 4 and he's on the block, but the odds of Brayden leaving this week are low. And the odds of Roe being put on the block and leaving next week are higher in my opinion. Yeah. So I think that like, I don't know. I think that if both Brayden and Roe are here next week, I do think Roe has a better chance of going home. So I got to be honest. I think I've talked myself into a 3.
There you go. I've almost talked myself into a 3 at this point, but the audience did go with a 4, actually. So that is where the audience is going to stand. And let's move on to Tara. Let's talk about Tara. Pooya, we'll start with you on Tara.
Listen, if there was a binum, I would binum. This is not the tier list. I can't do that. No, Tara, I mean, for someone who literally can just sit there as a non-entity and go the far distance without trying, she really knows how to sewer her own game every chance she gets. She really does. She's gotten lucky that other players during this week have put their own foots in their own mouths and made themselves bigger targets, because I think Tara was high on the Triangle's hit list to potentially go out even as soon as not like next week. With all of that being said, seeing where she's at, seeing the episode she keeps having in the house, her biggest saving grace is that she is linked up with arguably the best navigator in the house, someone who can be her eyes and ears, because she herself would not be leading herself anywhere except for off a cliff. I'm generously giving her a 3.
Melissa, what do you think?
Yeah, I have to give her a 3 as well. I am not super impressed with what I've seen. I think that she's kind of creating issues with people. And I think if she wasn't with Tina, I don't think she'd be in the spot that she is now. And I also think that she could be leaving soon. So I don't think anyone would feel bad about like targeting her. I don't think that that's something. I just feel like she's in a precarious spot, and I don't think she's doing herself any favors. So yeah, I just have to go with a 3.
Yeah. The audience also went with a 3 for Tara. Tara is probably the person that I have to break my rule on the most when it comes to long-term prospects, because I think that she is going to have so much trouble winning a jury. I think she is in the worst position to win the jury vote right now. Brayden is likable. Tina definitely beats her. Kiefer has won comps. Vic has won comps. Ty, Jed, and Beth are all likable and, you know, will have probably won comps if they make it there. And Ro will have won comps. You know, it's just like, even if she wins comps, okay, now she's competing with the likes of Ro and Vic and Kiefer. She's still like the least likable person of that crew. And she, not only that, but she has pissed off the biggest voting block in the jury. Ty, Jed, Beth. If all of them are on the jury, if she's not against one of them, then she's in a Tara. All 3 of those votes, I do not see going to Tara no matter what. Who else is not voting Tara? Probably Vic. Like that's not a good spot to be. Her best shot is probably against Beth. She maybe loses Ty and Jed. Maybe she can win against Beth. But on top of those long-term prospects and wanting to sort of like, okay, things can change. Maybe she can win comps. Maybe she can win some respect. Sure. But she's also one of the top targets. She's right under there at number, you know, after Ro, Ty, and Jed, there's Tara sitting there as a target in the house. So I do have to go with a 3. I think she's so lucky that Ro messed up this week because things could have been much worse for her. She's also lucky to have Tina helping her in this game. But yeah, I had to go down to a 3 here with Tara as well. All right, Melissa, where are you with Tina?
While she's in a good spot, I just feel like, I don't know. I don't feel good about giving anyone more than a 5. Like I said, I just don't right now. So as much as she's in a good spot, I'm not fully confident in her ability moving forward. I don't know. I don't see the strategy. I don't know. For me, it's just, I'm not seeing it, and I hope to see it. And I hope that next week everything's, you know, great for her and everything, but you know, I have to give her a 5.
Oh yeah.
So it's interesting. Valuations like this are interesting because you could go so many different ways. Are you looking at it from a week to week basis? Like what's her score for week 4 versus what's her score compared to everyone else? Are you grading on a curve? Everything like that. For me, a lot of my 5s, which by the way, I don't know what the policy is, but if you wanted to change my row to a 4 after looking at this, I look insane with Jed, Kiefer, and Ro all on 5s. That's fine. Doesn't matter. It's not going to change the grade anyway. For me, Tina, someone who, first of all, number one on the not going to be targeted, number one, probably the safest buy, I would argue, of this week, probably any other week so far. And I've flourished under the Tina reign when my stocks were there. In this house, she's proven to be level-headed. She's proven to be able to, you know, control one of the more wild cardy people in Tara. She has this thing going on with Keith. She literally has roads with almost everyone in the house to the point where I feel like if she decides to step it up, like Taryn wants her to so badly, if she just does that, she can have way more equity and do something that's worthy of 8 or 9 on any given week.
Totally.
So for that reason alone, when you compare her to everyone else in this house, to me, Tina is easily and the only 7 for me in this house right now.
There you go. A 7 for Tina. I am in a predicament here. I am a little bit higher on Tina than I was last week. So she's at least a six for me. And that's because she has stepped up her game this week. I felt like Tina would be in a worse place if she did nothing this week. And I do think that she has done something. I think that she has pushed the sunsetter line with the triangle to the point where they still don't know if they can trust her, but they feel like she's not somebody they need to worry about. She's not winning comps. She's not going to come after them. Even if she does, she might even help us out with Terra. And wouldn't that be great? Can we trust her to do that? I don't know. But we've got so many bigger things to worry about. Ro, Terra, Brayden, Vic even. And so nobody's worried about Tina. And at the same time, she's keeping a level head. She has a good read on where people are in the game. She recognizes where Vic is. She recognizes where Kiefer is. She knows how to get Ro and Brayden riled up. She knows that the shot needs to be taken at the guys. And she's very level-headed about all of it. And I appreciate all of that. Now, where does that go is my question. Can she make a run at the end game? She needs to take out the triangle. They need to go for her. And if her side doesn't win, that is going to be very dangerous for her long-term prospects. She is going to run out of space. I talked about this a lot with JC in Big Brother 20. He's playing a game where eventually he's going to run out of runway and he's going to need to take off at some point. Mm-hmm. And Tina, I think, is in the same spot. Not necessarily in the sense that like she needs to do something more than what she's doing, but she needs to get lucky. She needs to have the other side win an HOH or herself win an HOH. And so for me, she is still at a six. And where she goes from here, I think will depend. Do things stay the same? Did the triangle side win an HOH, or can her side win an HOH and take a shot at the triangle side? Great. Mm-hmm. She still has work to do, but she might be doing it. So that's where I stand. It could go down. It could go up from here, but that's where I'm at with Tina. And that is going to be the highest rating I give this week. the six here for Tina. I can tell you that the audience, felt the same way. They also gave Tina a six. So, there you go.
Boom.
All right. Let's talk about Ty. Yeah, how you feel about Ty?
So it's very, so to me, Ty and Jet are kind of in the same boat, and it's because of the fact that they are, well, they're not necessarily the last living duo at this point. Cause you know, you look at Tina and Terra, they're a duo. If you want to look at Keith and Vic, they might be a duo now, but they are the duo most sought after, most looked at, most enticing target. So they're kind of in the same spot. And that's why I asked earlier, what was your opinions on, you know, which one of them would be the one to survive the block? So I initially coming into this was under the impression that Ty was the one more likely to be safe on the block. Now, certainly, I think he's got the social capabilities. I think if someone can I speak on this for a second? Terra, if someone as chill as Ty has to deal with Terra's nonsense all this time and keep a level head, that is gameplay beyond what anyone knows. So many dudes in this house have been getting passes of like playing the chill guy game, and they haven't had to get the third degree the way Ty has had to get it from Terra this whole time. So I think that's something to be said. I think that shows the level headedness that you need in this game. Is he able to turn it on when he needs to turn it on to do stuff in this game, to progress in this game? I would argue yes. He's someone who I think is socially good. Yes. I can't decide. I'm being very honest with you right now, live. I can't decide whether or not I can give him this six that has been on my Excel sheet today, because I'm very conflicted of whether or not I should knock it down to a five where Jet is. Because I personally give him my bump. I do think he has a little bit more potentially, but has he shown it to me? I don't know. And then now this whole Braden thing is happening, and I can't tell based on the context, based on the tweets we're seeing, that whether or not it's in a positive place. Is it in a negative place? If bracing, I can't look at him in the eye. Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? I can't tell. Cause if he and Braden now have a link that he can, you know, bring Braden in as one of his own, that is a great acquisition. That could be six-ish. Mm-hmm. So because of all this, because of how conflicted I feel, I'm just going to play it safe and I'm going to give him a 5.
There you go. I realized I already kind of spoiled my rating by saying Tino was the highest at a 6. So I did also give him a 5. And I also kind of spoiled it by not giving Jed the 6, because Jed was the person I was considering going up to a 6 on. Just because I think he's more capable in competitions. I also think that like their best case scenario is that they're sitting in the end together. And I honestly think that Jed wins that. I gotta say, I personally disagree with that. I love Ty. I think mm-hmm. he's great. I feel like I would get along with Ty really well, and I get along yes. fine with Jed, but like Ty would be my guy. And I feel like that's how the audience feels as well. And so I feel like we do collectively have this bias toward Ty, but like it seems like objectively in the game, Jed seems to be doing a better job. And I can kind of see why, again, because Ty is so reserved. But like that's my kind of person more so. But yeah, for me, Ty is a 5, Melissa.
Ty's a 5 for me as well. I feel similarly as you guys do. And I feel the same basically that I do about Jed. I really enjoy Ty and I think that he's in a decent spot. I think it really just depends on next week. And I know I keep saying that, but like, I do feel like that is really relevant here. We don't know what's going to happen and that could totally blow everything up. Like all these ratings could just be garbage by next week. So I do think I want to keep him in the middle at a 5.
All right. Well, I can tell you that the audience actually does prefer Ty over Jed. Oh. The audience gave Ty a 6, which I do disagree with, but but they are there at a 6 for Ty. They were both like teetering on the edge of 5-6 for the audience, but Ty got a bit of a bump. So finally, let's talk about Vic. Last week was a 5 due to Amon's 6 rating. I already started with Puya last time, so we'll start with Melissa this time, but I'm definitely curious to hear the contrasting guest opinion here. See if Puya has the same thoughts on Vic.
Is there any way to do the audience one first?
We can do the audience one first. The audience was down at a 4 for Vic last week. They are at a 5 for her this week.
Interesting.
Yes, so that's where the audience is on Vic. What do you think, Melissa?
I'm going to be honest. I'm having a hard time with Victoria. I just feel like
maybe we should do Priya first.
I don't know. I am having a hard time. I'm more than willing to let Puya go first because I'm struggling. I'm teetering between two numbers right now. Oh, I'd like to hear your arguments
so much. If you had not gone to me first, it's fine. I'll go first.
I can go first. We can, Taryn, do whatever we want.
Do it. Cause Taryn, I have opinions, but yeah, you go first. If you have a solid decision here.
Oh, well, here's the thing. Solid decision.
I don't have a solid decision.
All right. Then let me go first. I'll go first. So I want to discuss.
Like, you go. No, yeah.
She's just so hard to rate.
She is. Yeah. She's so hard. Well, the audience had a solid decision. Yeah.
Very, very volatile to me. Cause like, I want to discuss the pros first, right? Wins the HOH. That's good. Mm-hmm. Doesn't keep the secret of the HOH. Knocks her down one for me. Can play in the HOH next week. Mm-hmm. Huge plus for me. Cause we don't know what the HOH is going to be. She's proven to at least be capable in winning stuff. That's a good thing. And seemingly, I do believe that in the midst of all this, she kind of ends up in the same spot as Keith, where, you know, the triangle's with her. But then if she doesn't win, are they still with her? They'd like sell her out if they need to. I don't think they really mind there. Is she going to be targeted? We talked about it. She's one of the ones least likely to be targeted in the midst of all this chaos. So ultimately, mission kind of accomplished. That's not a bad thing. And I just ultimately, for me, I just found that If you win the HOH, if the person you wanted to go, whether your decision is right or wrong, goes, that's a plus for you. She has this thing going with Keith. That's good. She's in this, you know, the Ghost Peppers. That's not a bad place to land. So ultimately, she's kind of gotten a net positive out of this invisible week, with the worst parts of her reign being her lack of capability of staying anonymous and then doing a little bit too cutesy stuff with the have not stuff. But you don't know with Victoria. And I think that's why the three of us were like, I don't know what the number is here. Cause I have in mind, I had her as 4/5. And honestly, I'm very happy that alphabetically she's the last one, because then when I look at the numbers I've given here, I think ultimately she's at best like teetering on a 5, but has to be given a 4 given everyone else's more level-headed gameplay and longevity as far as like social maneuvering goes.
Yeah. No, I mean, I totally agree with that. That's really my thought at this point, because like I have to basically look at my other ratings for this week and see that like, do I think she's on the same playing field as Tina? Not really. No. So like, do I think she's on the same field as like Jed or something? No, not really. Like, I think they're in a much better spot than she is. However, it's like Victoria's so slippery. I feel like she, like, I thought she was like a goner after her first HOH reign, and then she kind of just like faded away and everyone's like, okay, we're going to go after other people. So it was kind of like, wait, what? I don't know. I just feel like you would think like, okay, well now she'll be a big target. You know, people know she won HOH. That's two HOHs. Like, she's in a bad spot. She's not super solid with anybody, but like the odds are she's not going to go home next week. I mean, we'll see, but I just feel like there's bigger fish to fry at every turn. So I don't know. I feel like it's hard for me to rate her because I don't know how she gets away with this stuff. I don't know. I just feel like I'm kind of just like, she's just so out there and wild. And I do appreciate that. I mean, I like the idea that we're kind of just like, I don't know, but I think I have to agree with Puya in that, like, I'm looking at the other ratings and I'm kind of like, do I think she's more of in a Beth and Brayden category, or do I think she's more a Judson, Kiefer, Tina and Ty category? Like, I think at this point I have to put her in a Beth and Brayden category just because I don't really know. I don't know. So I'm going to give her a 4.
Yeah, that's where my gut was telling me to go as well. I mean, especially if we're looking at the week and like things that she's done this week, many of which have been bad and very few of which have been good. You know, prior to this week, I had her at a 4 last week as well. But at least then I felt like there was a chance that she was, you know, going to do what was best for her game, in any given circumstance. I don't feel that confidence now. You know, when she went after Toya, it was like the way that she's going about this is way, way wrong. but it's the right move for her game. Now this week she's HOH and we're like, the way that she's going about this is way, way wrong. And also the target seems to be wrong as well, actually, on this one. And it's like, oh, now the thing that is saving her is positioning. The fact that she doesn't have anybody in the game is actually benefiting her, because nobody wants to target a single person in the game right now unless they are directly coming after you individually. That's why Ro really screwed up, because Ro shouldn't be targeted right now. But because he's directly targeting the guys, they're like, oh, okay, well now you gotta go. So that's really helping out. The fact that she can win comps is great, but the fact that she won this competition, so HOH, then Kiefer wins HOH again, people are starting to look at her like a big threat to win this game. They think that she's dangerous because she's unpredictable. They think she's dangerous because she can win comps, and they think she's dangerous because they think that she will win if she makes it to the end. If anybody has any say, she will be sent out the door, and she does not have any allies that will protect her down the line. I don't think even Kiefer would go out of his way to protect her. I think he who recognizes that she is one of the greatest to ever play the game would choose to take somebody like Tina or Tara if he had the option over Vic to the end game, because I think that he would feel like he had a better shot to beat them. So with all that in mind, Victoria looks fine for now. That's why she is a 4 and almost a 5 for me. But it's just, I think that the only way for her to win this game is to win out. Fully, full stop. That's the way that she needs to win this game. And that is a tough road. It's a tough road. Kevin Martin took that road. I don't know if Vic can take that road. We're just going to have to wait and see.
It's a long road. It's not an easy road to navigate. Yeah.
So that's the stock watch this week. If I take it's a look here, I don't think
one
anybody
made money.
Only one Tina person made money this week. Tina made money this week.
Like it was 12%. It's not much.
Yeah, not
it's
a lot
really
of money.
Not much.
It wasn't much.
Not good, guys.
It's funny. I said this week was a weird one. I actually, one of the recommendations I had was maybe you should hold. But if we do check out the leaderboard, I did not hold. I did make the right call here. I went in on Tina.
Of course, Terry.
There
course
I am.
Whatever. Yeah.
Where are you in the rankings?
Tied for first right now.
Wow. Oh, well.
Look, Mike Son is here with me. With Christine, Darrell, Muse, and Medic. Here, tied for first. We all went in on Tina. Oh, this is interesting too. Christine also put one in on Jed here as our extra little piece. So did Mike. Well, look, us top spotters. We think similarly.
Yes, yes, of course, you top spotters.
Good.
Meanwhile, Melissa over here. Nobody reminded me about the stockwatch, so Melissa did nothing and. That was That's a huge fine. Mistake. I think you I like held, lost right? everything. No, I like I was in on like what was it, Braden and Austin for the week before.
Ooh.
It was awful. I was like, what? Oh my god, this is horrible.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Well, Braden, thanks
Austin
a lot, audience.
Tara?
Audience did not tell me to change my socks, and I would have taken it all off of all those people. But thanks a lot, guys. This is all your fault. Oof.
Taryn, where am I?
This isn't
like
my fault. This is not my fault, by the way.
I was in like the 300 range before all this mess. I think I'll probably be in like the 600 range.
545.
I'll take it.
Still top 50%. Yeah, you were in on Roe and Austin.
Oh, I only went in on Austin because I had some money left over. And I was like, just throw it in there. Maybe it's a little increase. If it's a loss, it's not that big a deal. I'm like, oh, it was fine.
I know Kirsten.
I take no responsibility for this week.
Kirsten was all Braden.
Yes.
All Braden, right?
It looks like she might have held, actually. Looks like she went. Oh, no, sorry. I'm looking at the wrong Kirsten.
Oh, no. From third place to 842.
Oh,
I was like, no way she sold her Bray stocks.
Oh, yeah. She kept in on Braden there.
Oh, no. Uh-oh.
Oh, boy. Oh boy. Well, that's what we have here for the leaderboard. If I just look through the top bits here, it looks like Noah, who was in the top 5 for BBCan 8, is here. It's number 65. Papaya, who was in the top 10 for BBCan 8, here number 80.
Nice.
There you go. There you go. All right. That's the stock watch for the week. We'll see how long I can hold on to this top spot. That's what we've got. Let's move back over to some of these other questions. Let's talk here about the ratings. How would you rate the episodes of Big Brother Canada this week? Last week they were a 6.6. This week, 6.3 dropped a little bit. The feeds last week were a 6.5. This week, a 4.7. For comparison, when Victoria was HOH, the previous week, the Victoria's HOH, 8.2.
Yeah. Well, a lot of down feeds and, you know, a lot of also... Victoria pretending like she's not HOH, so you don't get the full Victoria reign.
It's two things for me. You can't love what you don't have.
Yeah,
don't
exactly.
have feeds, can't love it. Second thing, the way I was excited to play detective all Thursday night play Detective Friday. I didn't get any of that because A, Victoria was obvious. B, we saw it for like an hour, 2 hours. Like there wasn't much given to us. So this rating fully makes sense given the little bit they gave us.
Yeah. How would you rate this season as a whole so far? 2 weeks ago, it was an 8.2. Last week, it was a 7.6. This week, a 7.1. It is dropping. But that tends to happen over the course of a season. So we'll see. All right. I had you guys rank the players from your favorite to your least favorite. Mm. Who do you guys think took the top spot this week?
His favorite with no metrics right now, like who's playing the best, just like yep. Your favorite full stop.
Favorite full stop.
Do I think I will know this?
I feel like I don't know. Maybe Ty?
So
that's no, my guy. Wait,
maybe Braden? No.
Lock Ty? It in, Melissa.
Ty. I'll just say Ty.
All right. For the last 2 weeks, it has been Tina. Mm-hmm. But this week, Ty did take over the top spot.
Oh, my God. I'm so good. I'm amazing.
Who's number two?
If Stockwatch is about favorites, I would be fantastic.
Yeah, there you go. Who do you two
now,
and three?
Now, see, who's now I can't get two and three because now it'll be, I can't guess it because now it'll look bad if I don't get it right. So,
I mean, there's no world where Tina just drops out of the top three, right? I mean, lock her in for one of the two spots. And then let me look at the board real quick. Looking at the board, board's looking nice. Throw Roe in there.
I think,
why not?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Maybe that. I got to say, it's like Tina and.
No, these were done this week, so Ro will not be in there. Ro might maybe, be
maybe
lower.
Braden, maybe Vic. If I were to put
lock someone, it in, I'd Melissa. Put
Vic. I think probably Tina's got to be in. Like Puyo's right. Like she can't Tina's fall that far. So I got to say Tina, and I got to say let's say Braden.
Victoria.
Wrong answer, Melissa. It's Tina and Victoria.
Ah, I almost got that. Darn it.
Then
look what you made me do. You ruined my record, Darren.
Then it's Jed, Braden, Roe, and then Kiefer, and then Austin, and then the bottom two, Beth and Tara. Tara down mm-hmm. at the very bottom.
Checks out.
Yes. I asked who is the best person for Victoria to have targeted this week for her game. For her game, top three spots were all Jed, Beth, Ty, taking up a combined roughly like 70% of the vote.
Honestly, I feel like she should have targeted Beth. I think that she feels like she can work with the guys and the like. I think she could work with the guys, but I do think that like three people versus her working with the guys is. The difference between Beth and not Beth. So I do think that she probably should have targeted Beth, but you know, at the same time, like if she can't keep it a secret and everyone's going to know it's her, there's no way she's going to be able to play to the guys. Like I had to get rid of your ally so I could like her, your other ally. So I could usurp her position. Like, I feel like it just not wouldn't play so well. So yeah, I mean, I think ideally she keeps it a secret and targets Beth and then she gets in a good spot, but
yeah, only 13% agreed with targeting Austin this week.
I don't think it's right for her.
I asked, how do you feel about the invisible HOH twist? As a concept, the concept of the twist. And this is probably the highest score I've seen for any twist in the history of asking this question. 74 out of 100 in the hate it to love it scale. Pretty good. That's a solid. I like it. It's right in the I like it range.
It's a very interesting idea. I think it's very interesting. And I also think that like it could, depending on the person and the people left in the house, it could be a way to make a gigantic move without anyone knowing it's you. Like, I feel like a lot of the times people are like, I wish I could target this person, but I can't. Someone else has to do it. And it's like, if you can do it privately and secretly, like maybe it happens. So I think it's an interesting idea.
I'm curious because I agree. I think the concept's great. I think literally the worst person that could have won it because they gave it away, right? Like the whole allure is not knowing and like having that suspense. So I want to know if this can be punched up or needs to be punched up. So I got a tweet from somebody about an hour ago who said, do you think the twist would have been better if they didn't tell the house guests who won and then had them all nominate and then announce the nominations? That way it's more chaos where some people might have the similar, like the exact same nominations that they don't know if it was them who won or not.
Some people thinking that they still might be the HOH.
Right. Like, could that be something? I don't know. I don't know if like that might be a little bit like you don't know if you have agency. I don't quite like that all that much, but I mean, I'm with the audience. I think that this is a twist that could be very fun. I would love to see it tried again. The allure of not only getting the HOH, but playing the next one and then competing in Vito and BB Can, I think like that is a big, big thing to get. So I do love this a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I do think that has potential as well. I think that what's good about that is that every conversation matters. And people will have to talk a lot about like, well, who are you nominating? What are you going to do? And try to get as many people to not put your name down as possible. I think the effect is the same with one person knowing their HOH, but because everyone is like, well, it's not me, that kind of shuts down conversation. Because if you then campaign to them anyway, it's like, well, in case you're lying to me, here's why you shouldn't put me on the block. It puts a barrier on that conversation. Whereas if nobody knows who it is, then it's like, well, if it's you, here's my pitch. And they're like, okay, same. If it's you, here's my pitch. And I think it opens a lot more conversation. And if we also don't know, then we are also going to be like looking at every conversation like, ooh, this could be bad for them. They just screwed up here. If this person is HOH. So yeah, I agree. I think that could be fun.
I think that'd be cool.
So I asked the audience, how do you feel about the twist as it played out, the execution of this twist? Still not terrible. It got a 48 out of 100. So right in that just like meh range, didn't really do anything for me one way or the other. So they like the idea, the execution this week. Not great. What are you going to do? I asked, who do you want to be evicted this week? Austin or Brayden? About 74% of the audience would like for Austin to go home over Brayden. And I asked, who do you want to win HOH next week? And for the, like, all of the weeks running, Rohan taking the top spot by a large margin. The people want Rohan to win the HOH. So that they don't
to send the Ro Show out the dojo.
To send the
they want to see the Ro Show.
Send someone else out the dojo.
I think it would be interesting. I think it'd be interesting to see what he does. I think that would probably be the most interesting HOH because I feel like all the others we kind of understand what they're going to be doing. So I'd be interested in seeing a Ro HOH.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like it because I know that the announcer person's going to call his HOH room Rosho's dojo, and I'm here for that. So I know that'll be happening. So I mean, ultimately, yeah, he has nobody. He's going to be an agent of chaos, and that's really why everyone's like, do it. Like, put more gasoline on the fire. Like, that's really where we're at. Like, give us a little bit of, like, I don't know what's going to happen, but I also know he's going to target the triangle, which is a strong entity, and no one really wants a steam run. Steam run's not a thing. Okay.
Run with steam. It's run on steam, run by steam, steam powered.
Yeah. Maybe when a kettle's going, that's like a steam run.
Yeah. All right. Those are the questions we have for you. That's about it. Melissa, any final thoughts on the week here?
This week felt a little bit flat, whether it was just, you know, lack of feeds or just like the actual like falling flat of the concept, but I could see next week actually being exciting. And because I really don't know where it's going to go from here. I know that our ratings basically reflected that, you know, like we don't know, it really could go anywhere. And I think it'll be really exciting to see who prevails and, you know, who leaves next week. I really don't know how it's going to go. And I feel like this house is a little bit all over the place. So I'm just looking forward to see where it goes.
right. Pooya, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I want to eulogize Austin a little bit here. I'm someone who saw a lot of promise in Austin. I'm in a draft where you pick one person, and I was the second pick. Tashawn was picked at first pick. I picked Austin. I just saw so much potential with Austin, and it's been very disheartening watching her stock kind of drop week after week after week. Not just like, I'm not talking in the stock watch. I'm talking in the game. Mm-hmm. Just watch her kind of not develop more bonds, not do more the way she like, just like was like, I don't like you, Beth. Like, so I'm not going to try. Like, it really made me feel disheartened watching her, you know, not really play the game. Hopefully she had a fun experience. Looks like she's got a lifelong friend in Braden, which that's great. You know, you find friends. That's a good thing to find.
She's but won the real prize. Yeah.
The real prize is friendship and, you know, rather be loved and lose than win and be hated, I guess. So that happened. Yeah. Yeah. All right. No, I mean, listen, amazing person. Not an amazing game player, full stop.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, right from the jump, really, when she was the HOH, I had high hopes. And I was definitely let down by her HOH reign all week long. And it is honestly, it's gone downhill from there. It's gotten worse and worse. So,
yeah.
You know, it's unfortunate, but There it is. Now, I have seen some reports, and I do this sometimes where I talk about reports. I talk about potential
breaking news are happening now
on the podcast, but it's usually wrong by like because whenever I read stuff, it's always and I'm like, oh, it looks like this might be a thing. It's always wrong. Because people are always just speculating all over the place. And then when I go and I watch, it's like, actually, no, it was actually not that. But what I've been reading is that apparently there was some neck kissing. Some necking.
Some necking, if you will.
Yes.
About like a 34%.
Do we feel like, so is neck kissing, is that a higher percentage than regular kissing?
Yes.
I feel like yes, because that's really
you probably start with the regular kissing, then go down to the neck kissing, right?
Yes.
And also I feel like there's a, like, you could kiss someone in like public, but I feel like neck kissing is more of like a private thing. I mean, I guess you could neck kiss someone in public, but I feel like that would be looked upon as a different thing than you know, kissing.
So what is the, where's the percentage if regular was 16 and then further steps were 35, are we talking like 20%?
28.
That's it. Yeah. Maybe like
27, 26, 25. Yeah.
What if it was like giving a massage behind the neck kissing?
That's still pretty intimate, but I feel like that's a little different than like dead situation.
I was like, what description is this? Like, I'm like, I have to like visualize it to really know what's going on here. This is why we don't need to. This is why I was like, why, what happened to using the basis? That was so much easier than trying to numerically decide what these things mean percentagely. So is it, neck kissing, who kissed and whose neck?
Oh, see, this is where like I've seen neck kissing and I've seen conflicting reports about who was doing the neck kissing. I'm seeing in the chat right now, people are saying that Braden was doing the neck kissing from behind in bed. But I've also seen that Ty did it. So, I don't know.
Kissing.
Do not take this as fact. I am reporting rumor right now. Tune in tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern. Maybe I'll have the details by then.
I feel like neck kissing from behind is a little bit different because we don't know, like, we don't know if that was reciprocated. I feel like there's a difference between like front facing neck kissing versus like someone comes up behind you and kisses your neck and then you're like, oh, what's going on here? And then that is different to me. That's a little, that's there's no reciprocation there. There's no like, okay, this is the two of us together doing this. I don't know. All right, bring Liana in here for our kissing correspondent. Just bring her in.
All right, we Liana, need the information. On a percentage of 1 to 100, where does this stand on the percentage scale?
Yeah. She'll know.
Hopefully we find out in the episode what percentage he gave.
Oh, yeah. Need to know. It's all about the math, really. Like, we are about the numbers here. We're very serious. We need to know. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Well, that's what we have here tonight for the roundtable and the Stockwatch. I hope you guys enjoyed. I will, of course, as I said, be live tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happened today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds, including we'll try to nail down that exact percentage for you guys. It's very, very important. And then tomorrow night, we will have a recap of the Wednesday night episode. And then Thursday, Eviction will be live after the episode to recap everything that goes down. Tomorrow night, also before the episode, Puya and I will be live on Twitch, playing the new Among Us map, pretending to be the invisible imposter.
Yeah, I'm very excited. We've been waiting for this. This has been teased since mid-December. So it's 4 long months that have gone into waiting, or 3.5. I don't care. I'm just excited to try it out. Hopefully the servers are kind and they let us. But we will be done before Big Brother starts, because, you know, we care about Big BB Cam. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll go straight in from the Among Us game into the watch party. I stream alongside the episodes every night when they air, so that I watch and react with you guys. Very fun. Make sure you find me there. twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Puya is at Puyaism on Twitch. twitch.tv/Puyaism. Melissa, where can people find you?
They can find me on all social media at It's Melissa with 3 A's. And that's that.
That's that. Puya, anything else going on? We got the Circle on Saturday.
Circle going strong. I did watch the episode before today's episode before the round table. Mm-hmm. The fun keeps going with the Circle. And yes. I can't wait to talk about it on Saturday. That's the one drawback, Taryn, is that the anticipation buildup to discuss everything is too long. Like, I got to wait 6 days, but it's worth it. It really is worth it. So that we have fun with that. Saturday's 2 p.m. Eastern. And then on top of that, I got back with Rob yesterday and talked all about 90 Day Fiance. We're a week away from the finale. So excited to see how the season ends. It's been kind of slow, but, you know, big ending. Hopefully we'll see. And then, of course, come tomorrow, Masked Singer will be having its second wild card night. And I will be talking about all of that with Liana Boris.
All right. Well, that's what we have for you next week. Phil will be joining us for the roundtable. Phil has filled in before. We'll have some fun there with Phil, we'll see where those ratings go. We'll have some fun with it. All right, thank you guys so much for joining us this week, and see you all next time.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.